Okay. What do you want in that?
Well, let's see. What you say?
So we have Sahara, a llama, Laika, and probably a mole. And maybe Kiwi.
What's wrong with some of the stuff? Listen, you got to let it right.
So how should we talk? Should we talk along the lines of it is a pleasure to be here, to bring you into a consciousness of development to a higher level, and thus therefore bring you up to a spiritual level equivalent to our art.
It's too homey, too familiar. You're probably one of the most unusual competitors on the web as far as familiarity with our certain guy. You'll get raspberry from all your higher dimensional etheric beings.
That's fucking stiffy if you ask me.
Well, I hit him across to the fact that a lot of the channelings that he's hearing from or about are off of the major cities show.
Uh-huh.
Now, what about, Carr's feeding me a lot of this, but I mean, what about the proposal that, a lot of the English cities is not up to date for one thing?
Mm-hmm.
And for another, they're kind of out of touch with her, whereas you guys, you live, read, and eat. So, is that a lot of where the difference is coming from,
you think? Pretty much, I'd say, due to the fact that, the city ships are constantly coming and going, and, English is not their primary concern or the development of the planet. It's more along the lines of, let's see how they're developing.
Right. And also, it's kind of like, that's kind of Haiti-based
deal, That's our field.
Correct. What's up, baby? Who's this girl that's got his 21st birthday coming up?
Oh, Rishi. Within the next 10 days of her birthday, all her Akashic records will be accessible to her.
Now, is that something that's just keyed into her genetic memory, or is that something that's given to her externally by somebody else?
I'm not quite sure.
Except I heard Omal commencing her or something, giving her commencement.
It's something that I'm not that familiar with, not being from the Syrian race, but being from a lowly third dimensional race that will one day be pulled by its bootstraps, screaming and struggling, and giving birth to a new world of six dimensional wonderment.
So, meaning that you're six dimensional, you don't have all the perks that come with six dimensions?
No.
What a shame.
Maybe, isn't it? What's the point? I don't know what the point is, apart from I'm having an absolute blast.
I sell all my money back. I paid for this trip.
I paid for it with my life.
Yeah, right. Well, you wouldn't want your life back.
No, not really. I'm happy where I am.
I know you get homesick every once in a while, but you've got a new home.
But I would like to be able to walk under the mandarin trees and I don't know what you would call them, kind of a fluffy leaf type tree.
You can do that.
Yeah, but it's not quite the same,
Your astral body.
Oh, yeah, but it's not the same as being able to reach down and go, ow, that thorn just stabbed me in the foot.
Hmm.
The hollows up here tend to, if there's a thorn in the way, it kind of scoots across the floor, or you step on it and you don't feel it.
Well, I mean, you can go to your planet, can't you?
Yeah.
You have them.
Oh, in the astral form.
In the astral form.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's still not quite the same.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true.
I'd like to be able to walk under a moonlit night and watch the Bawa trees. And
Bawa?
Bawa.
So, what astral group is helping them go up to sixth dimension? Any?
Yeah, probably, but I really can't. I really don't know.
Well, it's not Ashtar Command. It's a different sector.
Yeah, it's way in a different sector.
Right.
Like two sectors over, actually.
It'll be like the Galactic Federation kind of deal.
Probably one of the White Brotherhoods or something. Right. Or probably my world. white sisterhood.
That's true. So, do they channel on Veronica?
I would assume so, but I don't know.
You never heard of this?
No.
Now, you being in the priestess class,
uh-huh.
right, how do they talk to God? Or God? Or whatever goddesses?
By prayer and emotion and feeling.
But the goddesses or gods or whatever never talk back.
There are recordings of the great goddess saying, "Thy are the children."
Right. Now, where does this come from? I mean, this sounds like channeling.
If you could talk.
Where we get all our stuff from, channeling.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And probably, yes, it is channeling. More than likely, we've had this philosophical, theological debate before. Big words tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, good name for the tape, Big Word Tape.
Big Word Tape.
Yeah. We've had these philosophical debates before in the past along a theological level.
Well, a lot of them are dealing with our planet.
Yeah. And it's probably, possibly the same on many, many ways. I'm only conjecturing here and amplifying on my thoughts of the possibility.
Well, of course. So you've had these thoughts before.
Yeah. Yeah. The word channeling, there is no word in our dictionary for channel.
Right.
Yeah, a channel is an unknown thing.
So,
or the word.
Spiritually, you're kind of behind us?
No.
Okay.
You've got to think differently.
Well, I'm trying to adjust my thought process.
Yeah. That was one of the hardest things for me, was adjusting my thought patterns to meet the new environment.
Well, how's the new Durandan doing with it?
They're having worse problems than I did.
Oh, are they? Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't heard about them in months now. What's going on
but
with them?
They're attending classes. And
they're pregnant. She's pregnant, right?
She's had her litter.
Yeah, and?
She had 4 male cubs.
4 male cubs?
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Yeah. And my cubs think they're absolutely hilarious.
Why?
Because only one of them has developed abilities.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The other 3 haven't?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Deadheads, huh?
No. Just different ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. And they're very much different from the cubs. They're not as controlled, even from an early age. They're very into everything.
Your cubs are very, mentally advanced, though, too.
Yeah. Well, not by the norm from up the here. Womb. Not from the norm up here, but from my rise, yeah.
Yeah, well, you had Mark as a father, though, too,
yeah.
Which had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm. But also the fact remains that they were, that the cubs, Attila's cubs, are very third dimensional in their behavior, their thought patterns, and their growth patterns. Mentally, they're not so advanced.
But they're 6-dimensional also.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Their behaviors are very third dimensional and their mental development is very third dimensional.
Yeah. That stands to reason. I mean, both parents were third dimensional.
Yeah, as it is in the case of my cubs.
Correct.
But they're very. The difference is very prominent when you see them playing. They play like children did on my planet.
Rough and tumble?
Yeah, rough and tumble, and there's a lot of fighting and claws come out. Being males, they're not as aggressive as the cubs, as my cubs. They tend to be a little bit more docile, but it's still, you get in a tumbling match with them, they'll bite you. Much as I used to bite my sisters, my older brothers, my younger brothers. Yeah, we bring out our claws and latch onto each other and pull hair and bite and scratch. And
like you do.
The other children tried to communicate with them, but they tend to shut them out and hide within themselves when the other children try to talk to them.
Well, that's difficult. They're left out.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange. I think that they get along real well with the cub. Your cub.
When they play, they do. But when the cubs start to ask them questions, right, in either English or Syrian or Dorongatan or on the internet mode, right, the cubs don't respond. They will respond in Dorongatan, but they won't speak in any other language. And telepathically, they won't.
Not there.
They don't even hear. Which is kind of sad. Yeah, maybe it'll come in later on.
No, that's possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, the abilities are much easier to get up there.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, at the age that they are now, of, 6 months, they don't, you know.
Yeah, they're still young.
Yeah, whereas my girls were, will you shut up, type thing? Stop babbling. Do you want me to jump up and down on the bed and do what I did when I was pregnant?
So, but Tila's proud of her cub.
Oh, yeah, she's very proud of her.
She's
very protective of them as well.
But she feels a little bit weird about the situation she's bringing them up in, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an environment that she's the last place she expected to be raising children in.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, she told me that she never expected to have children.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But when the opportunity came to have her sterilization reversed, she was all for it. Something new for her. Yeah, the fact that, compared to me, they're 200 years behind the evolution mentally and physically, really hurts.
Well, it would just be the same as if, Mark's gone up there and he's way behind, but he's catching up.
Uh-huh.
It's just the process of being there for a while and getting used to it.
Yeah, but you have to remember that intellectually wise, they are much smarter than I am.
They are. They're scientists.
That's right. But I'm much more aware of things. They came from a time where things were very third dimensional. Things like, they were very concerned with economic growth, technological development.
Well, I still have trouble understanding the fact that you come from a later age than they do,
mm-hmm.
but yet you got here first.
Yeah.
That still throws me a little bit.
The way that they've developed it, the way that they are, is very much scientific. I mean, they're not in tune with their environment. They're not spiritually... the walls are still a memory for them.
That's true. And you were just a history lesson.
Yeah. I mean, their grandparents talked of the war.
Yeah.
Well, so they had first-hand knowledge.
I've got a question I've been meaning to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever really pondered upon your arrival at Hayes?
My rival?
Well, I mean, your arrival being found by Ashtar Command alone.
Yeah.
And being placed at Hayes.
Well, I did a full D-jump
right.
to one of their perimeter bases.
Right.
And somebody happened to pick up on the aura. Right. And the fact that it was very depressed and very close to death. Right. And they put it in an intensifying field. Right. And it was thought best to take me from where I was to a better, safer area. Where they had better equipment to deal with me.
Why Hayes Base?
It wasn't Hayes Base originally. I don't really know the full story, and they won't tell me.
But how did you get chosen to be put at Hayes Base? I mean, I'm just looking at it from the past view to now, and looking at the whole way this has all worked out.
From what I've heard of some of the other bases, they're much more rougher and readier and smaller.
Well, why wouldn't you put it serious? Or Alpha Centauri.
I think that's where they did a lot of the rejuving and cloning and repairing and so on. My body was apparently in very bad condition.
Not Sirius.
Yeah. So, I mean, Sirius is, the hotspot for technological advances and stuff.
All right. Here's the big question.
Uh-huh.
Did they have access to your past life due to your body being there?
I think so, probably, yes. But they did program into me.
Nobody could read your past lives from your Akashic records.
Probably more likely, yes.
They have the technology, I know.
Oh, yeah. And that's probably why I was...
You got put at Hades Base.
Is for the potential. I've only been out of cold storage 7 years.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I know. But, you know, the way everything has worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have been anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Those first 3 years were the toughest years of my life.
Yeah, had to be.
Total isolated loner, learning, first of all, English, and then trying to learn Syrian. And then, yeah, I've been given a job in analyzing data, which I didn't understand. And the fact that I was alone. Yeah, and my religious practices almost ostracized me. Yeah, the fact that I killed one pet dog.
I didn't hear about this story.
This was, I've been on the base like a month.
Anything?
Uh-huh. And it was the season of development for my planet,
uh-huh,
where we, yeah, go out on the hunt, and the instinct was very strongly, and we look for animals to offer to the goddess.
Okay.
And there was this dog wandering along, right? And it was walking through a park, and I happened to be up in a tree, and I just jumped down, broke its neck in the traditional way. And I took it back to my apartment, skinned it, and roasted it, and ate its spring.
Oh, no. And?
And it was a pet dog.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And the owners?
The owners were quite upset.
I can imagine.
They understood.
Yeah.
But they were very upset. Yeah, fortunately, they didn't have any children.
Right.
It did have puppies that had been weaned. It's like, how would you describe it? It had been a line of pets that had been a long time in their family. So the fact that I didn't destroy the line.
Who sat down and had a little talk with you?
A mole.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. How'd that talk go?
He understood very well the religious ramifications, and it was something that they overlooked. And he was very apologetic to me for not catering to my special needs.
Right, they could have supplied you with a dog to come wandering in the tree or something.
Yeah. But it was easy, the strength of the dog.
Right.
And the fact that I used to have an apartment full of cats. You reckon you have a problem with cats?
You had a bunch, eh?
I had a bunch. I think the record was like 30 at one point.
30?
Uh-huh.
What, all the neighborhood cats had all come over to Tia's place?
Yeah.
Tia's giving them great food and stuff?
No, because I'd sit down and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talked to them on the base in the same mental wavelength.
Oh, and you did?
Yeah. And I'd sit down and they'd tell me all the gossip and what was going on. And so I wish I could join in, but yeah, being so short and different, I felt very out of place.
So the cats were your best friend.
Uh-huh. I still have a few of them that gate crash. In fact, there's one that had her litter the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm sitting in my office, minding my own business, right? And there is, lunge at my foot. And I look down, and there she is. Right? And she's got a kitten in her mouth. Dumps the kitten down, rubs up against my leg. And the kitten was wet.
Oh.
Eyes closed. That yay big.
Newborn.
And then she came back and then dumped another down at my feet. And it took her about 4 hours. And she had 3 kittens there. 4 kittens. Yeah, 4 kittens.
1 hour?
Uh-huh.
She on the other side of the base or something?
I think so.
And?
And they now have a bed underneath my desk.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So I bring them salmon every morning.
And so she's over there always,
mm-hmm,
watching the kittens and,
yeah,
just talking to you.
Now she disappears off, and it's her last litter.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, she's, I think, about 7 years old. She was young when I met her.
Mm.
Now she was like wicker with
right.
the age. And she's had, I think, 4 litters so far.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a new little
brood under my desk.
Office mate there.
Yeah, they have to clean it out every morning. It absolutely reeks on morning.
Well, they're probably really happy to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Is she milk that she's given up?
Oh, yeah. She's the one that eats all the salmon.
Yeah. They do.
Salmon. Yeah. So I would sit there and I'll give her a piece of raw salmon and she munch it on, and I'll eat a piece, and then she'll eat a piece, and pass it back and forwards. Yeah. I'll give her some of the milk that I bring in. And she'll sit there, and then she'll curl up on my lap while I'm trying to type. It's quite an inconvenience, but it's fun too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, that's a neat story to me. I hadn't heard that one before. Kill the dog. Oh, man. And now that they understand these needs, Tila and her mate, you and everyone don't have a problem anymore.
Tila's not religious.
Oh.
Yeah. I tried to explain to her about the religion and everything. She goes, yes, I heard about those outcasts, apparently 200 years ago. Yeah, the goddess' worshippers were an outcast class.
Hmm.
Outcast class.
Until the need for religion reared its ugly head.
It unified.
Yeah. Well,
there still were a lot of factions and things.
Oh, there were when they were?
Yeah, a lot of factions, but there was peace, and there was a lot of mainly political struggle. I mean, when they left...
Well, actually, the religion actually saved the planet, right?
Pretty much, though, yeah.
That's not because that unified them.
Mm-hmm. It gave us all a unified
force.
One
religion. Like, yeah. For example, if we all had one religion, it's like a much happier planet.
Yeah.
We don't have that ability.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the thing was that the unifying factor of everybody being pulled together. I mean, yeah, at one time, 20 years ago, yeah, we were an outcast. Yeah, all the people that believed in the goddess, they were like the New Age people down on your planet are. Somebody to laugh at.
Well, who would have guessed? Well, yeah. Actually, they're not laughed at so much.
But now they were. Become,
now we're coming more like you were as far as unifying force.
Yeah.
Everyone now is starting, and everyone believes in UFOs practically.
Yeah.
Everyone's starting to believe in past life.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the thing is that there are still other religious sects, right?
Right.
And they are accepted and smiled upon. Yeah, the difference of each other. But now it's instead of the political struggles and everything, there are the religious sects and the debates. Now, the debates themselves are quite entertaining and funny to watch. Because you get some people that will, as Mark might say, spout rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they'll spout. And they won't think for themselves. And then there's those of us that worship the goddess, and we just sit there and go. No free thinking.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you can get that in every civilization.
Oh, yeah.
More so on ours. People are not as psychically developed down here. You probably got them up there right now.
Well, the ones with the psychic abilities are the ones that are persecuted. Now, I had to be very, very quiet about the fact that I could astral travel.
Yeah, well, that's probably changed now, hasn't it?
I don't know.
Some, like, 10 years later?
I really don't know. I mean, the ones that, were astral travelers that were full priestesses, from what I've heard, these are only rumors and stories from when I was a little girl. Where they were the higher ones, right? And it was a revelation.
Well, had you not had your accident, then, because you had to go, it was sort of secret for you to do this,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And
had this not been forbidden, had this been more accepted as part of the thing, you might not have done the rather risky stuff you did.
That's right.
And you might have never left Herodotus.
That's correct. I get the feeling that most of the priestesses that have the astral travel gift had them from an early age and were smarter about letting them come out, that they decided that that's what they wanted to be, was a priestess, a virgin for their whole entire life. And with me, I wasn't sure.
Right.
And when you become a priestess, you get initiated in all sorts of things. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the ones that are pointed in that direction already have the astral travel ability, and it's not something that they developed as when they became priestesses. It's something that they experimented with, like I did, but I took it a step further, or many steps further.
one could have gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
Glad the way.
Yeah, I would have been an initiated priestess and totally virgin.
And that would have been similar to our nuns out here.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's nuns who have a lot of psychic gifts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All that praying and, you know, meditating and all that. I mean, I'm sure that they've had some dramatic experiences.
Yeah, it's very religious. It's
our health. You know, you don't hear about
it. No. And they're probably very hidden and kept secret.
Well, like on my correlation.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to pull everything in a second.
Okay.
Greetings and felicitations, Ross.
Greetings, Amar.
And how are you functioning?
I am functioning quite well.
That is good.
Okay. And yourself?
I am functioning within specified parameters.
Good. All right, this evening we're discussing a gentleman from Norway. Mr. Bent. Or Bent is his first name. Anyway, we've been working with him, or at least I have, on things like the mass landing, the things he's been reading in Spirit Web.
Mm-hmm.
That basically we are pretty much debunking all across the board.
Yes.
Now, we have not been making many friends because of this.
Yeah.
Because we certainly do are rocking the boat here. But you know,
we do not wish to disappoint people by saying this will happen or that will happen. We believe in keeping to the truth, not appeasing the masses.
Well, apparently that is the current philosophy going on is appeasing the masses.
Correct.
As he says, everyone is believing in these mass landings, you know, happy times ahead, you know, joyful ascensions, and right, you know, you all just go climb on a ship and whoo,
you're there.
You
lose the learning and education.
That's a good point I should have brought up. I didn't bring that up. That's true, because as I told him, we are planning, you know, Tia has predicted many changes financially in the earth that will change our livelihoods. Now, those changes in our livelihoods is what will bring upon the triggers.
Hmm.
Now, what I still don't understand is the triggers are six-dimensional genetic built-in triggers. It's something that we've had in our system for...
Now you are moving into a gray area, unfortunately. We have not had many of those as of recent.
No, we've been trying to stay away from those, but, you know, every once in a while, I guess we stumble across
them. Yes. Okay, now let us take a few steps back and look at Tia's prediction.
All right.
And how it affects the development and growth. Remember what Tia said about environmental factors being a part of the calculation.
Correct.
If this happens and that happens, this will happen. For example, great deluges of rain. If you look around your local area, what do you see?
Which is why I brought this paper tonight.
Okay, let us, before you get to the newspaper, go and take that a little further with current facts that are happening.
Okay.
Okay, now, after the deluge of rain, what happened?
Rainbow.
No.
Oh, flood.
Which in turn did what?
Melted all the snow that we had, caused a breakdown on Highway 50, which caused the lack of business in town, which has caused many layoffs and cut back in hours.
Correct. And in turn, what does that do?
Economically depresses our economy.
Which in turn does what?
Strains and stresses everybody around us.
Which in turn does what?
Makes us work harder on our shields and work harder on keeping ourselves happy and, you know, in a positive frame of mind.
Okay, now you almost had the next logical step. Very close. Very close.
Yes, there is a lot of stress and strain. Yes, there is a lot of practice necessary for the shield. But if you look closer at the cause of the necessary stresses and strains that are testing your shields, what is happening? You have the individuals that are being made redundant from their bad choice and way, being temporarily set aside because of the lack of financial flow into the area.
Right.
What about those individuals? What are they going to do?
Well, they're going to panic because they have many bills and many responsibilities that they've been counting on as this, especially people that heavily in the casinos, is being their one main source of income. So with that panic, they'll be either moving away or, I'd like to say resort to criminal elements, but I don't think that they'll do that.
Don't underestimate that. Now, with that assumption and that information, let us look closer at the picture. We have the big picture. People moving away.
Right.
People resorting to crime.
Right.
Now, what does this look like?
It looks like a smaller version of what we're looking at in the future.
Correct. So what would be the natural assumption or the thing to do for you in this current situation?
Naturally, we use it as a testing ground, as a sample of what we've learned and put together as, a trial phase for what the big picture is going to happen.
Good. Exactly. Next time I do that, I will say, let me lead you down the path.
All right.
Now for your newspaper.
Ah, yes, okay. All right, here we go. As we were talking about the photon cloud and its various effects upon the environment, weather-wise, we have 68 killed in Brazil. Flood drives 34,000 from their homes. They got a month's worth of rain in a week. Here's a new one. Parasitic illnesses doom 65,000 millions affected in Latin America from disease that 65,000 are in the terminal stage and will die soon. Late stages of Chagas disease. What? That's a new one. Okay. Tokyo, wind and waves prevent cleanup. Europe suffers through deadly series of storms. Of course, our place here, massive flooding. Cleanup continues. That looks like about it. But that covers large portions of the earth here we're talking about.
Exactly.
Brazil has flood. And Latin America has parasites.
Mm-hmm. And Europe has killer storms.
And Europe has killer storms. Right. The storms obviously are, as I've mentioned in my letter to this guy, part of the photonic belt affecting the Earth's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with that, we are seeing actual, changes.
Physical evidence.
Now, how did the parasites come into this, though? Is that just a natural occurrence in the taking?
It is probably just a natural occurrence. Or it could be the fact that people have moved into areas that, in the past, were not that heavily inhabited. With the expansion of the population and people moving into areas that, in the past, they have not naturally lived in,
and probably for good reason.
Yeah, possible that these parasites, they're, you know, natural enemies, have probably been killed by the, you know, destruction of a lot of the rainforest.
And these people moving into the area does not help them out.
No.
So, there is a very good lesson and point.
And also it points out to the fact that, well, what kind of, you know, problems is Latin America to start going through because of this?
Correct.
Millions affected, 65,000 terminal. I mean, people are going to be in a panic down there in the hard way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's worse than the AIDS epidemic right there by a long shot.
Definitely.
So we're seeing this. But a good idea is probably keeping on the news more.
Yeah.
And watch where, you know, because, I mean, I didn't see this probably just happen with Thomas accidentally. But it does, it has a lot to do with what's going on in the world, what we're talking about.
Correct.
The little picture, all these little pictures. I mean, Europe, you know, deadly series of storms in Europe, floods in Brazil, Tahoe, North Coast, everywhere. These little pictures all put together are what's forming the big picture.
And in turn, that affects the environmental area. Now, let us look at the recent flooding in your central valley.
Okay.
Okay, how is that going to affect your country?
Well, wine prices are going to go up.
Think seriously.
A lot of crop damage, a lot of economic hardships that are affecting people who come up here and will be probably affected secondary to this, you know, in ways that we can't see just yet.
Okay, now let us look at the Central Valley. What goes on in the Central Valley?
Lots of agriculture.
What has happened in the Central Valley?
Lots of flooding.
So, on a country scale, how is that going to affect?
Well, we've got a lot of redundant systems built in to take care of problems like this. Florida, Texas, things like that.
Texas is going through the same problem at the moment that you are. They are having temperatures, for the first time in 6 years, it snowed in San Antonio.
So, a lot of the factors that teams are predicting are caused not just by financial problems, but ecological problems also.
Yes, that the ecological problems
are causing financial problems.
Exactly.
Right, so it's all tied together. All
right.
And can we blame this on the photon cloud as much as it'd be nice and handy to?
Look for a scapegoat is your answer.
No, I already know that, you know, a lot of this is just due to the fact that it has to happen. This is what our planet is going through. I mean, it could have happened any number of ways.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be the photon cloud. Could have been an earthquake knocks off California into the ocean.
I mean, right.
Many different factors involved. But all of them still are going to be pointing in the same direction.
Okay. Now, let us look at this boat moving in closer on the picture, one little tiny dot in the picture.
Okay.
How is your preparation going?
Well, the space is ready. We've got stuff dried.
How long will that last?
Well, what we have currently?
The food.
A pretty weak amount of food.
About a week.
Yeah. That's pushing it. So basically what it needs to be is a lot more.
Yeah. Your heating material, you have plenty of that, I assume. Or enough to get you through the winter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Actually, without heat, no, it wouldn't be enough to get you through the winter. If our heat got cut off, we couldn't last a winter on what we got done.
Okay.
We went through 3 cords of wood that first winter, and we had electric heaters up here. So odds are, no, we would need a lot more. We need to fill that garage up with wood to get us a decent amount of, you know.
Maybe if it's time to buy a gasoline-powered cutting instrument.
That's true.
What about generator?
Generator, I believe you'd have to put Tia on some research that was done by Mark.
Okay. So like a chainsaw?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good call. Good investment. Yeah, I didn't put that in our list.
You might even consider buying a small trailer for your internal combustion four-wheel drive vehicle.
Yeah. Carry the wood around.
So, we are seeing a more stepped-up amount of activity due to the fact that we are seeing more stepped-up financial and economic.
Now, Tia has brought something to my attention.
Okay.
With the current situation in your area, as a pet, what should you do?
That's a good question.
Go without anything from the store. Turn down the heat. Cut down as much electricity usage as possible. And try to get by on as a sample of what it would be like without the necessary luxuries that we're afforded right now.
It would be best to discuss it with Tia and what she has in mind.
Okay. That'll work.
Now, as it is getting ready to turn over to the opposite side.
I assume that means you're going to be departing this.
Correct.
Well, thank you all. Oh, God, I'm all, I mean, I think he just never covers it. But thank
you. You're welcome. One day, do the same. That is thanks enough.
I will certainly do my best.
Or help someone that needs. But be careful of who you choose that needs help.
Right. This gentleman in Norway, this is a good test case for me.
Mm-hmm.
He needs help, but he's very open. And he needs nice to talk to somebody who likes to listen.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Okay, Tia, what test are we talking about, sweetheart?
Okay, you can carry on with the amount of electricity that's always handy to conserve.
Correct.
Always handy to conserve. So maybe when there's nobody in the house, instead of leaving the temperature set on 65, you might want to turn it down to 50.
Okay.
Make a rule, last person out turns the temperature down. Make sure all the electricity is switched off.
Okay.
I would say, let's assume that this is DEFCON 1.
Okay.
Let us use it, as you pointed out, as a trial.
Alright.
Assume the worst. Assume that those people out there that want to break in and steal your computer, your TV, your new CD, all your electrical stuff, so that they can pawn it and then have money.
Correct.
Let us assume that. Let us lock your doors. Yeah, I think I'm all...
Yeah, lock at the door would be a good call. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's something that I mentioned to Mark, and I think Mark mentioned it briefly to you. About, what should you do with the current situation?
Right, using the test case.
Mm-hmm.